Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you live from a bunch of different places. We are live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, X/Twitter, or Instagram. Maybe you're listening later on Android, Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't listen on Google Podcasts, though. I know I've been saying this a lot, but actually they extended it a little bit.
It's my favorite part of the show.
Well, I'll tell you what, we still have a couple of hundred people who listen on Google Podcasts. I just saw it and I was like, guys, I've been saying this for a month. There is no Google Podcasts anymore after March. If you're listening on Google Podcasts, listen literally anywhere.
What do you want them to do? Unsubscribe? You know what I mean? Like, let them stay locked in.
No, they don't have to. There's a button you can press. It transfers it over to YouTube Music, everybody's favorite platform for music.
Yes, exactly.
It's very complicated.
Yes, on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. I'm always listening to podcasts. I mean, actually, some people do listen to our podcasts on YouTube. Wherever you're listening is all good, but wherever you're... Oh, Michael Tillman says, I've been downloading past episodes on LimeWire. Is that cool? Yes.
Very
Michael,
cool.
As all of our file names are comicbookclub_xxx.notavirus.exe. If you got that file, you are good to go.
We're packaged with some sick Pearl Jam bootlegs and some like very sexual pictures of Dave Matthews. So definitely enjoy those as well. Very sexual.
Wow.
Well, anyway, why don't we get into the bulk of things here kick it
the
off
bulk.
With the thing. The bulk.
Bulk
kick
and
it off
skull.
With the thing that we do at the beginning of every month. We give a little bit of a shout out to the folks that support us on Patreon. Anybody who supports us at $5 and up, we give them a shout out to their names. We, of course, appreciate everybody's support. This show, in fact, does cost a lot of money to do. We could not do it without you. But why don't we jump into thanking these folks? Oitis Larson.
Aaron C. Hollis.
Adam DeRose.
Adam Marks.
Adriel Moreland.
Elena Fontenot.
Amanda Harris.
Andrew Primo.
Andrew Tillman.
Beercat PhD.
Carrie Matthews.
Chris Leatherman.
Christina Jaramillo.
Christina Rensfield.
Chris Terlizzi.
Clemens Luer.
Dan Snow.
Daniel Cabral.
Daniel Fuentes.
Daniel Warden.
Closing out the Danny block with Danny Heck.
Moving it on to the Davids with David Donaldson.
Debbie Gloom.
Dennis Scott.
Derek Mainhart.
Doug Sotoway.
Nice. Dylan LJ.
Eduardo Martinez.
Emmett Quish.
Enrique Chumbez.
Gerard DeVillier.
I want to unlock the secret Patreon quiz. What?
Wow. Look at that.
Not it. Somebody else has got to write it.
Hold on. We'll come back to that in a second. Let's keep going through the names. We'll talk about what just happened here.
Ian Rainey.
Ian Thomas.
Isaac Carter.
Jake Fry.
James Connolly.
Jaron Townsend.
Jason Donahue.
Jeffrey Whaley.
John Henderson.
Jonathan Jong.
Jonathan McCool.
Joshua W. Broxson.
Joshua Wright.
Julian Lobato.
Kelby.
Kevin Kleinrock.
Kieran Broderick.
Cody Thomas.
Lance Kaminsky.
Lawana Thomas.
Maddie.
Mad Max Pliskin.
Matt Tice.
Matthew C. Hernandez.
Matthew DePalma.
And that's it for the Matthews. Moving on to the Michaels with Michael McAuliffe.
Michael Tillman.
Nelson Kelso Martinez.
Nick G.
Nick Grayson.
Official CBC chef Brett Mackers closing out the official CBC chef section of the list.
Stray Bullies.
Omnia Solart.
Oren Dix.
Pedro A. Rangel.
Provocative Ambulance.
Rev Mikey.
Robert Pettinato.
Roxanne Tyler.
Hey, RT Sizzle!
That's the mom section closed out. Sarah Schottmuller.
Sarah Schaefer.
Scott England.
Stanley.
Tamela Rush.
Taylor Bryan.
The Big Flood.
The 12 Banch.
Victor Perez.
Will Buchanan.
William Leach.
Zachary Bachman.
And of course, Zika's Viral Comics.
Woo. Again, thank you everybody who supports us. Patreon.com/comicbookclub. It's as low as $2 a month. And not only do you get access to our Patreon Slack, you also get so many podcasts. You get a podcast going all the way back to 2011. A lot of them that are not available on the services that we mentioned earlier in the show. And they're not going to be available on Google Podcasts by the end of March because that's going away. At all.
Yes.
So
wow, that's Patreon.com. A real hobby horse.
So what you're saying is stay on Google Podcasts for as long as you can, is what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying. By the way, we got a comment here from Facebook. Dean Delp says, I'm on break at work right now, just dropping in to say I love you guys. Dean Delp. I love you too. And we got a question here from Michael Tillman. Can we do next month's Patreon subscriber reception in a sweater weather style?
Nope.
Justin, yes, you think you can do that?
Hell yeah. It's like how you said, provocative ambulance.
Pretty much.
I love sweater weather. And honestly, sweater weather season is over. So put away your sweaters and your little teeny swimsuits.
It's not over yet. It's not over yet.
So the secret Patreon quiz.
Yes.
So someone said... I want to unlock the secret Patreon quiz. And you know, congratulations, you've done it. All you have to do is reveal yourself. And then next month, we will have a special secret Patreon quiz when we do the names next time. So whoever made that their name, make yourself known by emailing us or doing Alex's bidding and getting off Google Podcasts. And then we'll get to it.
Yeah. Hop on one of the shows, make yourself known, just say what's up, and we'll take it from there.
Yes. Now, I've got some news for you all out there. So, Josie Campbell was supposed to be our guest this evening. I know. I don't know if you could tell, we were vamping a little bit here, because unfortunately, wherever Josie Campbell lives, her power went out. And she was trying to get it back on and has just heard from the power company that apparently they're not going to have power until 8 or 9 o'clock our time tonight.
I don't know where she lives, but imagine calling the power company directly. Their phone's got to be ringing off the hook wherever she is.
Yeah. Or maybe she just lives in an area where it's like one power plant and just her. And the guy's like, hello. Yeah.
Also, we need to talk about... Hello? We need to talk about who hates us where they're shutting off the power just when we're doing the show.
This is the third time in a row this has happened, something like that. So,
well, we've had a couple, issues with the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it's wind in California, power.
When you say infrastructure, we got a drink. That's what just happened there.
Yeah, that was
and
very
just to
weird.
Mention, there was also Jerry Dugan, the infrastructure
the Dukes?
In his ear that got an ear infection.
That's right.
Well, anyway.
This is our time to reconnect. That we need to, we're circling the wagons. We're gathering together and really connecting. Last week, we knew about this in advance.
1,000 points.
So we were able to prepare a quiz. This week, we found out about it when Alex just said that.
So I'll tell you what. Why don't there's plenty we could probably talk about. We could talk Hell about yeah. some news. We could talk about Aquaman 2. We've all seen that. I'd love to get all of your questions. We do Q&A usually later in the show. But if you got questions about absolutely anything, we would
give
let
us
you
some
know.
Big
and
ones.
In the meantime, Michael Tillman brought up something that I was about to say. It is, of course, Super Tuesday. We are a very political show. So let's bring you live updates from Super Tuesday.
A horrible idea.
Well, we focus on superheroes here. So why not Super Tuesday?
That's right. Nice.
Well, we don't do this.
This Tuesday was bitten by a radioactive ballot box. And
we don't do this.
Super. Yeah. Look, Pete's getting nervous.
Yeah, I don't want to do this.
First, this is from the New York Times. First polls close as 15 states vote to set stage for November. Oh, my God.
Wow. Now, Alex, I'm with Pete. Geez. We can't do this. Yeah. You got to get it.
Stop.
No, that was it. I was just, my bit was I was going to have a reaction and then I'm done. Nice. Well, listen, we got a question here already. Thank you. Edward Doherty says, who will Henry Cavill play in the MCU, and who should he play considering he's a little older now? I can throw out the rumors that have been going around. First of all,
the Vulture.
Yes, older. The Vulture, because he's decrepit.
He's the oldest.
Silvermane. Yeah, I mean, that's another one. He could be a Silvermane. Oh, yeah.
That's fun. Yeah. Just the head kicking around.
Silver Samurai. Well, that's
Sure. The older version, I guess. You could play. Well, so here's the thing. First of all, it's a rumor completely that Henry Cavill is joining the MCU. There's been no confirmation of that. Might just be fan stuff, might just be scooper stuff. The further rumor, though, is that I don't know if this is people want him to play this or think he's playing this or what's going on here, but they've said Cyclops. And I don't know why you would be like, first X-Men, we got to get on the board. We got to cast Cyclops.
Well, I mean, I know
it's not a bad choice.
I know we're all post Cyclops as a group here and the comic book community. But I think the X-Men fans at large are like, Cyclops, he's an OG. He has to be in there. You can't just come out with an X-Men movie that doesn't have a Cyclops. And
but Henry Cavill? Henry
Cavill I'm not is saying
wait,
necessarily.
Wait. Just back
I'm
up
I'm going
the
to bat for Cyclops.
No. I would be first guy in line if you told me that there was an X-Men movie without Cyclops in it. I'd buy two tickets.
That's how they're marketing it? That is MCU X-Men movie, but like great news. This is the first X-Men movie that does not have Cyclops in it. Pete.
Pete.
It would be glorious.
I mean, now that's micro-targeting. They need success so hard here that they're going to be like, okay, what does Pete want? No Cyclops. Okay, just tell him he's not going to be in the first 10 minutes. Okay, Alex, what does he want? Cypher? Oh, no. Okay, how about we add Cypher at the end? He can read the credits. Perfect. Okay, what does Justin want? His X-Men draft team to be the new X-Men team? Okay, that's perfect. That's easy. That's what we're going to do anyway.
That's perfect. Okay, I feel like a little bias is sneaking its way.
Yo, by the way, did we get news last week? We didn't talk about on the show that one of the X-Men teams led by Rogue, as I predicted.
What? You didn't predict that. We did a fantasy draft.
In my X-Men draft.
It was a fantasy draft, dude.
Yeah, you didn't.
And my fantasy is a reality. Whoa, I picked Rogue as my team leader, and then that's what's coming up.
Wow. Cool. And who else was on that team? Because on her team is Gambit and Nightcrawler and Wolverine. You had all three of those as well, right?
I didn't. I'm not saying I called.
Falls apart. Oh, falls apart pretty quick after that.
I don't think this is a good choice at all, and Pete's going to get mad about this, but Wolverine, I mean, I don't know
Wolverine?
Why. Henry Cavill is Wolverine, is what I'm saying. Like, what do you think of that pick, Pete?
Well, they shot it like he's, 5'3". You know what I mean? If they, he can be as tall as he is in real life, but if they try to...
Hobbit technology.
Yeah, exactly. Short him up a little bit. You know what I mean? Get everybody else some apple boxes. I think it would be great.
Dig a little hole underneath.
Yeah.
Or you said put everyone else on apple boxes?
Yeah. Whatever's easier.
Do both.
Yeah. Double up.
It's a Marvel production. They can afford to dig a hole and get apple boxes for everybody.
Yeah.
Wow. Who's the union Cavill digger? Henry Cavill, 6'1", Pete.
That's rough, dude. That's rough.
Too tall. Mm-hmm.
Only from the back. You know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
What? Maybe they could dwarf him.
Can I?
He could dwarf. On his knees with shoes over his knees.
Dorfareed.
Can I talk about one of these questions here real quick?
No, we're still... This is the only question we're going to talk about for the next hour. Sure. So Michael Tillman says, you've discussed it before, but since Pete's been working on his comics, maybe it's relevant again. How do you organize your comics? It sounds like Pete does alphabetical. Why not chronological?
Well, here's the thing, Michael Tillman, and thank you for asking. I did have chronological for most of my life. But then I had a scary fire and had to kind of like grab comics and run. And so I realized I don't actually, if it's chronological, it takes too long to figure out where a comic is, whereas alphabetical is quicker. So I was in love with the kind of high fidelity chronological. I have to remember what comic book club show we did when, and then what was the stack and pull from there. But it was just so much jumping hoops that I was just like, you know,
I need
to be able to get
stuff. Did you, when you were doing chronological, it was literally chronological by weeks, not chronological by like Avengers in number
order?
That's just
chaos. Well, that's what alphabetical would be. It's not like Avengers and then in number order.
Right, but so chronological is like, the way that I would think about chronological is like Avengers 1 is in the back, Avengers 100 is in the front.
No, that's just a different, that's not chronological.
That'd be alphabetical. Chronological, I think, would be in weekly bunches. Like, it would be like just chaos, which is what
I do. It alphabetical by the number? So like 4 comes before 100?
Yo, what? What brain are we in?
I thought this would be a fun question, but congratulations, Elvin. You've turned it into a nightmare.
This would be a fun question. How does Pete keep his comics in giant boxes right behind him?
Yeah.
Pete, so what box? So in this fire situation, perhaps a future hypothetical situation, what letter box are you grabbing? P, W?
No, I'm grabbing these two. These are kind of my oldest. I now have like, I have everything alphabetical, and then I have two boxes just like my old stuff. So in case of emergency, I can kind of grab them and run.
That's great.
That is great.
It's very strange we're having this conversation at dinner. My family's like, what happens if our house is on fire? And everyone was saying what they'd grab. And I was like, I'll have time to grab all my comics.
You know, what's interesting is when you're sitting outside of your apartment building and everybody is kind of sitting there and they're holding their families and loved ones, and you realize all that you care about is the two boxes of comics that you have in front of you. That was a pretty gnarly moment.
You're carefully hugging them in their bags and boards, though, right?
Always.
Not pressing them against your skin. Ever do skin to cover contact when you get a new comic? Just like lay it on your, a brand new baby?
I disrespect the art like that.
Yeah, when the firemen got there, were you like, my baby's inside? And
don't get me started about the firemen, dude.
They were like,
they were
there's
fucking
no baby
walking.
Inside. You're like, oh, I'm
there
sorry.
There was no hustle.
My copy of Wolverine number one.
Were over there yelling at the firemen to hustle up?
Dude, the firemen were acting like there was nothing going on. There was no, power walking or urgency. It was like the 18th fire they dealt with that day, and they couldn't give a fuck, man.
Well, yeah.
After the ninth one, the tenth is free. So
that's, and I think they considered your comics less of a priority, perhaps.
Joshua Wright says, "My daughter does all-star cheerleading. Which superheroes would be on your cheer squad?"
Great
Dazzler.
Dazzler.
Go
same.
Dazzler.
Ooh, same.
Good pick.
I mean, when you finish your routine, you know, and she hits the fireworks, I mean, that's just going to be a nice.
Yeah. I feel like Boom
Jubilee.
Boom too. Yeah. we're all in the same genre.
We're right
here.
In the same neighborhood. I mean, let's not forget
Psylocke.
Stiltman.
Mm-hmm. Stiltman. Wow. Some
top
real aerial stuff.
End.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
I feel like if we were going over to DC, Ice would do it. Fire would probably begrudgingly do it since Ice was doing it, but she wouldn't want to.
I mean, Booster Gold feels like he's got the energy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, does he?
He is 100% the one guy on the cheerleading squad.
I like that Edward Doherty in the comments is literally right. He's like 1 second behind saying all the same things. He writes, Dazzler, Jubilee, shit.
Wait, we're going to go back to comic boxes. Billy Coyle wants to know, do you guys use any of the plastic comic boxes? I've slowly started switching.
Ooh, that's interesting.
I've never even seen those either. What do they look like?
Oh, yeah, I'll show you right here.
Wait, you have one?
Pete's Cutting Edge. That's for flood protection.
Oh, smart.
More of a bin.
It's a bin. It's a bin.
No, but I like that. That's good.
Other styles. But yeah, I can understand just because I had flood damage and, the the paper boxes, cardboard didn't hold up. So switching to plastic makes sense. But the problem I have with the plastic is you got to get the right size bin because otherwise it's going to affect the comics. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, plastic bins are not really.
I got one of those. I got a bin for the comics. It was like one of those big round ones that's usually sitting outside on the curb. I was storing my stuff in there for like 24 hours. And when I looked back the next morning, it was gone. It was a total disaster.
Yeah.
Never use the plastic bins again.
The old circular filing cabinet situation.
Are you saying you put your comics in the recycle bin? Is that what you're...
The what now?
Who said what? That's good stuff.
We're keeping going on the same theme. Joshua Wright says, any catastrophic, comic reading experiences, for instance, my cat once got scared, attempted to jump onto my lap, bump my arm, which jerked my hand into my coffee, spilling it on the comic.
That's a Final Destination situation. It's you have a vision of that happening.
Joshua Wright, thanks for sharing. That's rough, though, dude.
I had a comic blow into a lake once.
Blow into a lake?
Yeah, written stack down by the water. Wind down came up.
Water.
And just took it out of your hand, or were you trying to sail with it? What the heck are you doing with by the water?
I was out on a jet ski. I was standing on a jet ski, reading comics, holding a beer, smoking a joint.
Of a jet ski triangle, if I remember correctly.
That's right. Yes. Me, Stilt Man. I was cheering on the
Booster
game.
Gold?
Yeah.
Did the Fonz go by?
Yeah. Sorry, who's that? So I'm a millennial. I
dated myself a little bit there.
You certainly did.
I gotta say, no, none that I can really think of.
Never?
I mean,
not one time?
I'm sure there's times that I've spilled something, but...
Mm-hmm. The time you were reading some of your pornographic comics in public, which is every week, I guess.
Every day, man. Every day.
I really try to push this true narrative that Alex reads pornographic comics.
Well, for our show. Frederico Rosa, how often do you guys read older comics? Like older pornographic comics, as I assume.
The classics.
Please, let's get off of this.
Yeah, I'm always reading the oldest pornographic comics possible at the Museum of Natural History.
Nice. Well,
I like to stand by the exhibit with the urns, and I'm like, you know, these were the original pornographic comics, child.
Sir, this is a class. This is a fourth grade class.
They got to learn sometime.
To answer his question, not as often as I would like. Usually what happens is I'll read something that reminds me of kind of like an older story, and I'll be like, oh man, yeah, I love that story. And then I'll kind of go back and read it. So it's usually something kind of triggers a memory, and then I kind of go down a rabbit hole of trying to look up and find the old comic to read.
I would say not very often. I would love to. I'll go back and reread Starman once every year and a half, sort of top to bottom. Still very good. But not a ton. What I would love to do if I had more time and fewer children is I would sit and just randomly grab some comics from a stack. Mm-hmm. And
just a random pile, walk up to a pile, and just kind of sit.
No, that's
there.
Great. Like stuff you've read before, you grab instead of you're in the middle of an X-Men run or something like that. That's fun.
Exactly. Completely random. That's what I like.
I like
shuffle.
That.
I want comic book shuffle.
That would be great. We read a lot of stuff for the show, and that takes up most of my comic book reading time. So
there let me be honest, all reading.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That has eaten my brain for reading anything.
Yeah. Schreckler says, favorite board tabletop games? You guys play any of those? I play a lot of them because my son in particular is obsessed. But
with which ones?
So I would say the
is he
big
a sorry
one that
guy?
Are, what? Yes. No.
Best tabletop game. I love to be put together a team of four adventurers, all my sorry pieces, and head out from the start trying to slay the other my rivals.
So he goes to this place called Game Lab here in Brooklyn, which is an after-school program, which is great. Oh, it focuses on cooperative play, which, I don't know, I didn't grow up with it. I mean, I think most people our age probably didn't grow up with where we knew family games is, this is the time where we're all going to hate each other at the end. We're going to let's sit down for a nice family game night, and then at the end, nobody's going to talk to each other for 24 hours. because we're all so bad.
What were you? What were you fighting? What would you be fighting about?
The game my family fought the most about was Mealborn, the French card game.
Oh, yes, the race to 1,000 signs.
Everybody was so serious about it.
I can't believe you just pulled
that. We would get into shouting matches, and people would be like furious about that game. Monopoly also wasn't good. Sorry, everybody was serious about it. I stopped playing Scrabble with my mom because she would whoop my ass every time.
Yeah, nice. And you would flip the board out of anger halfway through. Yeah. Mealborn is, just to lay out, it's a French card game about driving. It's so insane. We
How
found
the fuck a, did you guys know about
we
this?
We found a deck of this when I was in college, and we would drink and play Mealborn. And then we did a race to 1,000 keystones where we bought 30 racks of Keystone Light. And we were like, this will take all semester. Nope. Shockingly fast.
Nope.
Race to 1,000 keystones.
My point, though, and I know this sounds very old fashioned, but I did not grow up with cooperative games. It was all competitive games. Cooperative games, playing with the family, it is so much better. Just everybody working towards common goals. We still play some competitive games, but they're so far beyond the games we were playing as kids, and I love it. The one that we actually like the best is my family, which is competitive, is there's a series of games called Villainous by a brand called Ravensburger. They have, it started as Disney stuff.
Ravensburger?
Yeah. No. So it started as Disney games, then they've expanded into Marvel type and then Star Wars type. And it's basically
Ravensburger.
You're a villain. And you each have a goal. So, like, I'm Cruella, and I need to capture 100 puppies.
You
so that's my goal. I'm kind of playing my own game over here, but everybody else at the same time is also villains. They're trying to win their game before I win my game, but also they can stop me in various ways. So it's
by saving the puppies, you monster.
Yeah, or like throwing heroes at you or throwing other obstacles in your way, things like that.
Like Pongo and Purdy, who shut that
very fun. They're extremely well-designed games, and the thing that I like about them is every single time we've played, somebody wins, and at least one other person was like, I was in one move of winning, you know? And this is a good game. It's fun. The other one, my son has been super into, this isn't a board or tabletop, this is a card game, but Lorcana, which is like Disney, but for Pokemon. And he's been sort of obsessed with that. But that's another actually pretty fun game. Recommend that.
Are you trying to capture all the Disney characters? How is it like Pokemon?
No, like the card game's a little different. It's battling with Disney characters. But again, like it's a very quick game. The other one that's cooperative that I will throw out there is there's a game called Horrified. And it started with a Universal Monsters thing. And it's basically you're in a small town and all working together. You need to get rid of the monsters in the town. And you could play at different levels. So like you can play it's just Dracula, or it's Dracula and the Wolfman, or it's Dracula and the Wolfman and Frankenstein, etc. And it gets exponentially more difficult the more monsters you have in play. Super, super fun as well. There's a lot of time you just spend being like, okay, we got to do this to get rid of Dracula, but if we go over there, that's going to mean Frankenstein's going to get us.
That's fun.
Is it one of those fun games where at the end you realized you were the monster?
Yeah, it's you flip open a thing at the end and it's a mirror and you're like, oh shit. Yeah.
Oh no.
Shit.
My kids aren't quite as old as yours, so we've been playing mostly Sorry and
Shots Fired.
Yeah. That's not Shots Fired. That's Compliment Lodged. Or friendship achieved, I guess. Conversation started. But we also play like sort of your find the pairs and all that. But when growing up, we were card game people, and Pitch or Setback, as it's known, and Euchre were our family card games
because we like
to yell at each other and stuff.
Wow.
And then now lately my family gets together and after many drinks, we play Family Feud, where we literally line up and play the feud. And it's so loud. It's so much screaming.
Who hosts
it? That's right. We take turns.
Wow.
Let's play the feud.
Awesome.
Love
it. Great question. This is from David Cruz. Which comic book or comic book run is the most valuable, price-wise or sentimental, nostalgic, in your collection?
That's tough. I'd have to really go back and give it a dig through. I think, I mean, I've got some early Walking Dead issues that are probably worth a bit. I've got some very old Jugheads.
Oh.
That might be worth from like
comic books or just
60s.
The tops of
no jugs. Actual just Jughead, the tops of jugs.
That's oh, wow. We all refer to them.
Yeah, wow. We know Jugheads. Yeah, that's wow. His name. Yeah,
I don't know about actually valuable.
About sentimental wise, valuable.
Sentimental wise, I've talked about this on the show before, but I have a box of comics from when my dad was a kid that are basically dust at this point, but like Fantastic Four Annual Number 2 and stuff from around wow. that time period are in there. And so that's one that I'm like, I love that I have that. I'm so scared to ever open it or look at it. I don't want to touch them, but
get them graded, Alex. Sell them. Sell off this sentiment.
There we go. How much is this dust worth?
Oh, man.
What do you think? Pete, what about you?
Tell me my dust. What is my dust?
I got some old, like Casper the Friendly Ghost and Hot Stuff. Some old Felix the Cat.
You've always been a Hot Stuff guy.
Oh, huh? I love Hot Stuff. Yeah, Hot Stuff was great, man. That was good stuff.
And just describe Hot Stuff for people that might not be familiar with your boomer era comics.
He was a little devil, but he was not like Mephisto. He was nice and was misunderstood a lot of the time. But yeah, he just kind of walked around having fun adventures.
He would put marriages back together.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He would save relationships, as we all should be doing.
That's why you love rom-coms.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I got some old G.I. Joe, Larry Hama stuff. I got some old Wolverine, not surprisingly, some old Punisher stuff. And then all the entire collection of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Eastman Laird.
Awesome.
All right. Let me just tell this story. One of my more valuable personally things, I've never priced it, but I used to work at this restaurant, and Paul Pope, the artist, would his work was at this gallery next door, and he would come in for lunch. And finally, I talked to him and started talking about comics, and we had brown paper mats, and he got out his brush pen. He was like, name a villain. And I was like, oh, give me a second. And I walked in the back and I was like, what do I say? What could I possibly say? And I weirdly said the Minotaur. And he drew this sick Minotaur piece with Theseus slaying him that I have framed. And that's like one of my favorite things.
Wow.
I would say one of the most valuable things in my collection is my two beautiful children and the love that I have for my wife.
Nice. And you have them in Mylar bags, right?
No, I keep them in a plastic bin. I had them originally in cardboard.
You should get it graded. Yeah. You should
and
get
next morning, they were gone.
This is for Billy. You guys are clearly comic nerds, NEDND. I think the answer I can answer for all three of us, not really, but we did a D&D podcast once, right?
Yeah, we did.
Or it wasn't D&D. It was another role-playing game.
Yeah, it wasn't specifically. It was just like sort of a roll your own.
Choose your own adventure type of. Yep.
But I do think we are that type of people, I think. But what scratches that itch is doing comedy. I mean, we do comedy to varying degrees now, but doing improv is like on stage D&D in a way, because you're literally like.
Yeah, there's these rules that are made up. Yeah, exactly. And you got to kind of play within the parameters that you're given for sure.
Yeah. And I've mentioned this before on the show, but I used to play D&D back when I was in high school.
Cool.
By myself.
Yes, the coolest way to do it. Describe how that was.
Well, when I was supposed to be doing my homework and it was done after I had... on the lowest volume, watched usually, I guess, like Tiny Toons and Animaniacs back to back.
The lowest volume.
The lowest volume, because I didn't want anybody to know I was watching TV. I would watch it on
motherfucker.
The one volume with my ear to the speaker on the side of my tiny TV. So that nobody
that's
would
some
find
old
out.
Timey. That's some old timey shit to me.
It really was. And then when that was done, when I'd be like, well, still more time till dinner, time to play D&D, I'd open up my drawer where I'd filled out my character sheet, and I had one introductory Dungeons & Dragons manual that I played the same game with myself over and over and over again.
So you played with yourself a lot.
Yeah, when I was a teen. Yep. Sure.
Feet.
That's the time to do it.
Yeah. Man, I rolled that D20. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you got to let that breathe a little bit.
You brought
bit
this
out.
On yourself, Pete.
Yeah, I don't know why I started this.
I liked it. That was a good joke. And that was Pete's. That was plus +5 for jerking off jokes.
Right? Oh, boy. Oh, but that.
From Schoikler, have comics ever sent you on a deep dive into some subject you hadn't known about before?
Infinity Gems.
Yes. You didn't know about those?
Really?
You didn't know about those? I was like, these things seem interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. We had studied those in school by the point that the Infinity Gauntlet came along. The only thing that was surprising to me is we had it on, we just called it a glove, but like they called it a gauntlet. And I was like, I don't know.
Well, different cultures have different names for it.
No, I've never been curious about anything.
Oh, wow.
Yes, that shows. I mean, it's less often superhero comics because they are often dealing in continuing worlds, but one-off or creator-owned series, things that are limited, I think that's when you can be like, oh, what is this about? And then I've sort of gone, there was this comic called, I think, The Infinite Vacation about multiverse. And it was about how in this universe, you could go on vacation sort of into another version of yourself. Or into a world where yourself was missing so you could fill in the gap. And that got me into sort of a little bit of the science, the physics around the multiverse theory. And then I've since returned, now that multiverse is such a thing, I'm like recommending that book, if you've never read it, as a fun, interesting take on the multiverse. Yeah.
Cool. I would say that when Fables started to pop, I kind of learned about all this licensing rights and like how certain properties like come up every couple of years and like the other side of the business. That book really kind of launched me into this whole thing of like, oh shit, they're not coming out with Batman movies every couple of years because they want to. They don't want to lose the licensing and all this other kind of stuff. So it's, I don't know. It sent me down a kind of interesting
Hollywood
peek
baby.
Behind the curtain. Yeah, in a way that I didn't know about before, for sure. But I would say the other thing is Michelangelo's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles issue where he teaches you the nunchucks. That changed my life.
I think they're called stunchucks.
Nunchakus is the actual.
Wait, this is.
I let Michelangelo taught you about nunchucks.
Taught me how to use them, man.
And you went and bought a pair.
Yeah. I got the comic. Then I got the chucks. And then all I did was just. Learn.
So why do you have such a Raphael attitude?
You got me there.
Cool but rude. Edward Doherty says, the Minotaur story, show us the drawing already.
Yeah.
We'll find it. I'll go grab it. I've never shown it, I think, right?
I've never seen it.
I don't think so.
I've known you for years.
What if it's all right. Absolute
I would
garbage,
love to see it.
Yeah, it might be.
I would love
yeah,
to see
yeah,
it.
It might be shit. Okay, I'm going to go find it. It's going to take me a minute, so... pretend my power's gone out.
Oh, okay.
No problem. Great.
I can ask you something, Pete, which is very bad to ask you because I don't have all the information here, but I saw somebody posted a thread. I do not remember which social media it was on at this point because there's so many of them, but they were saying that their hottest TMNT take was that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles have the wrong names for the artists that they're in relationship to. And I wanted to see what you thought about that.
I've heard this before.
Yeah. And what do you think about it, Pete?
I mean, maybe, you know what I mean? I mean, sure. But like at this point, who cares? You know, we've already established who's who and who does what. So yeah, I mean, it doesn't change anything for me if it's wrong. You know what I mean?
Well, like Donatello does machines, right?
Right.
So it should be Da Vinci is the guy most associated with machines.
But his name is Donatello.
Yes. Well, here's my question is, do you know why they chose, and I'm asking, I don't know. Do you know why they chose the artists that they chose?
I mean, in the original comic, Splinter talks about why he chose certain ones for certain people. It was all about what he wanted each turtle to kind of have as a guiding light or a guiding principle. Yeah. I mean,
that's in the first issue.
No, it's good. Okay. Kind of later.
Reveal. I was going to say I could run off camera and just go search for it, and you could sit here by yourself for a while.
Oh, great! Yeah. That's everybody. Yeah. I'll run the show. Yeah, no problem, man.
Yeah, all good, man. Tell you what, while Justin is going, should we move on to our next section? Actually, we've got one more question here. That'll kill a little time. Brett Gallet says, would you ever consider reviewing Webtoon romance comics? I would love to get Pete's takes.
Ooh.
That
sounds fun.
Yeah, I like that idea. I like Webtoon stuff. I mean, I don't know specifically what Brett's thinking of. Heartstopper is one of my absolute favorites. The other day I read Nothing Special by Katie Cook, who we like a lot.
Dude, Katie Cook is unbelievable. Also, super nicest human being ever.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, she's great. And that's just been collected as a graphic novel. So yeah, sure. Folks recommend some and we'll check them out.
Yeah, definitely.
Mr. Demo 73 says, do you still buy comics in singles or digital?
Well, if I'm going to the store, I'm buying singles, but usually we get review comics sent digitally just for ease. But yeah, I would love, if I'm buying comics, I'm getting single.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I definitely buy more trades because that's how my kids. No, that's not true. I've been going every week with my son and buying single issues for him. So singles for sure.
What's he been into lately?
His big fandom is X-Men. He loves X-Men. He reads all of the X-Men stuff except for the stuff that's inappropriate. Like, I do not let him read Wolverine right now, for example. But he likes the Spider-Man stuff. He's really into the Voices books. I'm not quite sure why. I should talk to him about that. But he's always like, oh, is there a new Voices book? Let me pick that up. So I think he just likes seeing diverse voices and reading all the short stories and everything. It's probably also more digestible. He really likes Edge of Spider-Verse, I think, because, yeah, definitely not Pete's son.
Why would it be?
It's been a long-standing question on this show is whether my son is your son, and I think we've finally determined it's not your son, Pete.
I want to see the test. You guys ready?
You have it. Yeah. No, go ahead, please. We're just killing
it
time.
Took me some digging. But there,
oh, reflection. Oh, the reflection is holy shit. Whoa. That was insane. Can you do anything about the glare?
No, it looks great. Anybody listening on the podcast, it looks amazing. It is a fantastic picture.
Oh my God, look at all that detail.
The Minotaur. Yep.
I can't believe he did that. Like, how long did that take him?
Like 40 minutes.
Wow.
He just pulled out his brush pen and did it.
He did that in 40 minutes, just sat there. That's a lot of work, man. It almost looks like Max.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good call. Well, that's great. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, that is really cool, man.
That's great. I'm going to hang it up back on my wall here.
Yeah, you should keep that in your safe or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm going to come over and steal it.
What's
the best thing to come from doing this podcast? That's the question we got here.
Do you mean the best thing to come, like in the future?
Oh,
because I'm curious.
Lifelong friendship.
Oh, Pete, that's nice. You mean that, right? You mean with us? Or are you talking about?
I was going to say my son. I would not have my son if it wasn't for this podcast.
That's true. We encourage Alex to have children, and we're there at the conception.
No, I don't know.
We were there rooting you on.
my entire day job. You know, I mean, a lot of it came off of like freelancing and building up clips there, but certainly a lot of the jobs that I initially got and were comic book journalism jobs. So I don't think I would have continued to work in journalism if I wasn't able to build up that level of clips through writing, which came directly from this show.
I mean, I think this keeps me personally sane, fresh, like keeps me thinking quickly. Like I love, all of these things, which I think just interviewing people, these are the kind of things, kind of skills that I feel like I use in everything that I do, especially in meetings, pitching, all that kind of stuff. Doing the show, I think about a lot when we used to do those live interviews at New York Comic Con, where they'd be like, okay, here's the next person. It's Seth Rogen. You know about his thing, right? And Alex and I, or Alex and Pete and I would be like, uh-huh. And then we would just have to make it up as we figure it out live on camera. It was, and that's like, those pressure situations are, that's great.
Yeah,
I would have to say, you know, like some of the people that we've met over the years has definitely stayed with me, you know, the Boothmen we've had, the amazing interactions we've had at Comic-Cons. Even when we were in Baltimore, we got to meet some of the like awesomest people who came out to our booth and I got to take a picture with. It was really just very cool and kind of energizing. I would say my favorite though is when we were doing our live show. Oh my God, I can't believe I just blanked on the name of that bar.
Fontana's,
thank you. Yeah, and there was that family who had just come from the M&M store and they all had their bags, and all there were four of them and three of them were completely checked out except for the one girl.
You bring her because they came from Ireland. Right?
They came all the way from Ireland, and it was her pick. Like, they all picked one thing they were doing in New York City, and she was like, I want to go to Comic Book Club. And I just thought that was the coolest thing. The fact that why they were visiting in Ireland, they came all the way over. So that's pretty
cool. We're huge in Ireland. In Ireland, they talk about Pete LePage. Edward Doherty says you got killed in Lock and Key. True, except I actually did not die.
Yeah,
no,
you died.
Got hit with a boulder.
You died horribly.
I lived.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you call it living when you're just a small town doctor?
that's also Doherty brings up a good point. I mean, the fact that, you know, you read these comics, but then we got to meet the other people on the other side of them. You know, I mean, Joel Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez are just, I mean, some of the coolest people, and the fact that like we got to know them enough that they put us in the comic as a thank you was just unbelievable.
I mean, speaking earnestly, the fact that we started doing this just because we loved comics and then have gone on to meet almost everyone that we could have thought of wanting to meet in our fan lives is insane. That's crazy. Yeah. And what do we dedicate that? What brought us to that? Just the commitment of doing this every week. Every week. We just keep doing it. When we were good, we were early to this idea. We were early to the podcast game. But we just kept showing up and kept doing it even now. 18 years later, that's crazy.
Woo!
I mean, the pickle episode, running around interviewing people on the streets after Captain America died. Like, crazy stuff.
That's what I'm talking about. That kind of stuff. That's what also entertainment is now. We were doing stuff at a time when it was like fun to be doing that. That's, we were making, so we had to make it up.
Get more to come.
We were running a camera in this, on 35th Street eating pickles and saying like, what am I pickling up this week? I'm pickling up. And we were laughing our fucking asses.
That's great.
Still gets me.
By the, just so if anyone doesn't know, this is when we were working for a website. We were doing the Pulp Secret Report, which was a comic book news show that we did three times a week. And we sort of got to do whatever we wanted. And we did some straight up nonsense. A lot of
Well, because here's the thing. There's not quite, I mean, I say this as somebody who currently is taping a comic book news podcast 5 days a week.
When do you do that?
Every day of the week, Comic Book Club News. But... Oh, wow. there's not enough. There was not enough news at that point to do 3 days a week. And the schedule was we would come in the morning, put together the show, film the show, have it done by noon. Pete would input the footage while Justin and I went down to some food court and got lunch usually. Then I would come back, edit it, and then we'd have it posted at like 2 to 3 in the afternoon, something like that.
Yep.
So it was a pretty quick turnaround, particularly for like the tech of the time and everything.
Well, and then in the afternoon while you were doing that, I was like doing some other weird, like figuring out the next weird, because that's when we got into the afternoon. It was like, let's do something where we kiss a stranger at a Spider-Man trapeze. Oh,
dude, you almost fell in love, bro.
Yeah.
Wow. What could have been? Past lives, you know, past lives.
True.
Frederico wants to know, did Alex watch X-Men 92 to watch the new one? Nope. Joshua Wright.
I just started watching. I'm going to, I don't know if I'm going to get to all of them, but it's on when I'm sitting in front of the TV. So.
Joshua, I do actually want to watch it at some point, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. Joshua Wright says, how do you pick comics for the stack? So...
all of them?
All of them. First of all of them, and then we're done.
No, Alex does a great job curating this, to give credit where credit's due.
Thank you.
And it's very time consuming, but I assume you just pick the, why don't you say, but you pick the interesting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's, we, in full disclosure, like we get most of the stuff from most of the major publishers. So a lot of it is going through kind of in order, like I go down in order of my email just for sanity's sake. And I'm like, okay, here's what Dark Horse has this week. Is there a new number one? If there's a new number one, I'm more likely to throw it in the stack. If it's the second issue of a title we liked, of course I'm going to throw it in the stack so we can follow up on it. If it's the second issue of a title that we were kind of mixed about, I might still throw it on anyway, just to be like, does this have an upturn? Is this something we like more that we actually want to follow or that we felt mixed about? Is there more conversation to have?
Yeah.
That said, if it's an issue we absolutely hated for the first issue, I probably won't do the second issue of it. So that's sort of like the first criteria that's going on there. And then the other criteria is this something that feels important to talk about? And I think, frankly, for the most part, that comes from like DC or Marvel. I think the Energon universe kicks up there a little bit now because that's so big. That's something that I think even we don't, but even if we were like, yeah, we don't like Duke and Cobra Commander, I would probably still throw this on there because they're big conversational topics and there's things that are worth saying. And then sometimes a title will go off the stack just frankly, because we're saying the same things every single time. Like we get to the review and we're like,
we love this.
This is good. Good stuff. And I just don't think that's compelling on a podcast. So at a certain point that might get phased out. There's exceptions. I think frankly, books like
Radiant Black.
Yeah. Like books like Radiant Black or Ice Cream Man, I think are consistently good all the time, but maybe I'm wrong, but I think all three of us like reading them and we're interested in them. So it's worth throwing out there to follow and talk about, even when absolutely every issue isn't like, we have something revelatory to say about this.
Well, and also like, I feel like every episode is someone's first episode that they're listening to. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to say like, hey, this is a comic we stand by every time we get it on our hands, I think is important to say. For those, and it's not a ton. That's there are only a few that we love that hard.
We love that hard.
We got a comedy question here. Any thoughts about the cancellation of Just for Laughs?
Oof,
problematic.
Ouch.
The Just for Laughs.
That's a staple.
Just for Laughs Festival in Montreal and in other places is a big event. It's where often like it's where the sort of gatekeepers all go and find talent. It's where often the last round of talks with who's going to be on SNL next season is happening.
It's a huge
thing. A lot of comics go through the New Faces program and get picked out for to find a lot of great opportunities for them, both stand-up, sketch, improv, not less so improv, but characters. And they declared bankruptcy. It's a Canadian company just today.
It's tough.
Cancel the festival.
It's great for Montreal too. The amount of people and everybody who's kind of paying attention to Montreal that time. It's just, I've been there for it. it's awesome. It takes over the whole area, and it's just a lot of really cool people in one place.
I was there last summer working on a show there, and it was very cool. I feel like something will take its place. Actually, the character show, Characters Welcome, I do on Wednesday nights live stream, is produced by Just for Laughs. So
Business Daddy's in trouble.
Okay. So we'll find out about that. But yeah, it's generally bad, I guess I would say.
Stinks.
Yeah.
And Harper. Let's take one more question here. This is from Nat Towson. How many episodes with no guests will it take for you to go completely insane or tell us your darkest secrets?
Negative one. We're three minutes away from it right now.
Yeah. It takes 5 seconds of dead air before it we'll be like,
I killed him.
That's ridiculous. The fact that that's right there is a little scary. There's Zelbatron.
Yeah. Well, I will say, I mean, we'll tease this at the end, but we have three guests next week, so I'm not too worried about it. But we'll
see. Yeah, way to triple it up there. You know what I mean?
Nice job. You never know with the rolling blackouts affecting
That are affecting very specifically the comic book community, I want to mention. But
targeted.
Yeah, targeted. All right, why don't we move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Hey, all right. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics Online, because if you had $25, you go to a comic book shop. All right, so all we need is a brave volunteer, first hand up, pick me a, you know, something like that.
A Dazzler cheer.
Yeah. Go Dazzle.
Ooh, Corey Chichere. Chichere?
Hey, Corey.
Yeah.
There you go. Corey's got it.
All right.
So, great. Corey, just drop your answers in the comments and you'll win $25. So
yeah. All right. Here we go. Welcome to trivia with that is about comic book anchors and a small nod to the legend Charles Dierkop, RIP. Please listen to all three options before making your selection. Here we go. Question number one. This legendary anchor worked on everything from Star Wars to Avengers and is from Queens. Who is it? Is it A, Spider-Man, B, Tom Palmer, or C, Sam Elliott? Only one of those works in the comic book industry.
And I will mention, I don't know if this is a hint, but Tom Palmer is the inventor of the Tom Palmer, a drink that is half iced tea, half ink.
First off, R.I.P. Tom Palmer. Okay, let's just get that out of the way.
And that's the other
secondly, R.I.P. Arnie Palmer. And the fact that you're disrespected.
You got him on his Palmer.
Yeah, don't. I'm part of Arnie's army, bro. Don't fuck with me, bro.
I love an Arnold Palmer.
And let's not forget that Sam Elliott was like, ink, it's what's for dinner.
Hey, Corey was right. B, well done, Corey. All right, here we go. Question number two. This next amazing anchor is known for his work on Civil War, Superman, Batman, and, of course, Wolverine. Who is it? Is it A, Dexter Vines, B, Dexter's Lab, or C, Cloris Leachman?
Wow.
Yeah.
Dexter's Lab was pretty heavily inked. Like, it had some pretty thick lines.
Yeah.
So.
Thick lines.
Could be B. Oh, Corey says A.
Is correct. Yeah. Wow. Shout outs to Dee Dee. All right.
Dexter Vines, a friend of the show, Amelie Dufromage.
I got Salvin on that. All right, here we go. Question number three. This amazing anchor is known for Wonder Woman, Robin, and Titans. Who is it? Is it A, Nicola Scott, B, a bag of reefer, or C, Don Kiefer?
Bag of reefer. Don Kiefer.
Take a bag of reefer for $500, Alex.
A is
correct. Oh, wow. $25 free.
Congratulations, nice. Corey. Shoot us an email at comicbookclublive@gmail.com and we will get you your gift certificate to Midtown Comics. Pete, What was the secret movie?
Secret movie.
And banger that you're talking about.
Yes. My mom's second favorite movie. First favorite, of course, being Die Hard. I'm talking about the 1969 banger, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah. Oh, good. Schoikler in the comments, raindrops kept falling on my head today, which is a reference to that movie, but also a reference to New York weather.
Ooh.
Very rainy here today.
Or Seattle or... There's a lot
but of I'll tell you what, still going to make it to the comic book store tomorrow for new comic book day. What are you guys going to be picking up? What are you looking forward to that is coming out in stores?
Ooh, Pete, pick me. Like pick me.
Yeah, you go first.
Great. Ultimate X-Men number one and the sensational She-Hulk number six.
Great.
Come on.
Wow. Lot. I mean, and you want to talk about sensational She-Hulk for a second, Pete. You're the number one rom-com guy.
That's right.
And what is that comic but the number one rom-com comic?
I mean, it gets you in the feels all the time. It's one of those will they, won't they that you're so rooting for, you're so invested in. They get a little vacation time, I've heard, you know, because it doesn't come
Who'd
out until tomorrow.
Scuttlebutt. Scuttlebutt around the way.
Rump, rump, rump.
And Ultimate X-Men is by Peach Momoko, so...
Come on, yes, the Peach.
Pretty exciting. Justin, what about you? What are you looking for?
Miss Peaches.
I got to shout out a couple books. Love Everlasting, number 13. This book has been such a ride. It really started as a romance comic. Then it started to deviate from the genre. And now it's become just this super compelling mystery of what is actually, what world are we in? Really enjoying that. Crave number 4 from Image Comics also. Really enjoying this, which is this sort of sexy thriller dealing with some tech out of control. Great characters, really well drawn that I've been loving. That's by Maria Lovett. And I was going to say one more, and that one is, of course, Doctor Strange number 13.
Ooh,
we were talking about D&D earlier, and the preview of this book was D&D.
Based. Yeah. So also, just a great use of Taskmaster, I feel like. You know what I mean?
Potentially.
We'll see. Potentially. We'll see what happens. Couple that I am very curious to check out that are coming out this week. First of all, Marvel has so many big issues coming out. It's insane. But you mentioned Ultimate X-Men. The other one that I'm just really curious about is What If Aliens number 1, which is inspired and written partially by Paul Reiser about his
Paul
character.
Reiser! We Reiser. In here! Paul Reiser! We ain't going nowhere!
Threadless Comic Book Club. Check out our Threadless shop for our Rough Riser shirts. That's not a joke.
Stack's going to be fun.
I forget why we made the Rough Riser.
The boys. T-shirt. The boys. He was on the boys.
That's right. He was on the boys. But Paul it's Reiser. More apropos now than ever that we have a Paul Reiser written by and starring comic book in the stack.
Also very curious to check out TMNT, The Last Ronin 2 Re-Evolution number 1, just because that first series has been such a blockbuster, how they will follow up on that. And Spectacular Spider-Men number 1.
Spider-Man.
From Greg Weissman, who's been on a roll with the Gargoyles books, and Humberto Ramos on art. Teaming up Miles and Peter. Ramos. That should be cool.
That feels like a sneaky hit. Greg Weissman hasn't done a ton of mainstream comic work, but man, Gargoyles is so good. I think he's a great writer. This is very good.
There we go. All right, that is it for this week's show. We don't have to thank anybody, but we do hope Josie Campbell got her power on. I will plug, we should have mentioned this earlier, but I will plug I Heart Skull Crusher. Her book is coming out March 13th from Boom. And spoiler, it rules. Definitely.
It's really good. Hopefully we'll have her back on soon to actually talk about it, because I was very much looking forward to it.
Yeah. But we do have a packed show next week of hopefully three people that will not all have their power knocked out. Jerry Dugan is actually going to be here to talk about X-Men and Darkroom. Megan Brennan is going to be here to talk about the new graphic novel Kira and the Maybe Space Princess. And Max Brallier is going to be here to talk about The Last Kids on Earth. His enormous hit series of graphic novels for kids, as well as the Netflix show. A couple of other things to plug. Comic Book Club News comes out every weekday.
Morning
Marvel. Every day. Marvel Vision, our Marvel podcast. We've got a recap of Madam Web, as well as some news stuff. Sons of Gun Our DC podcast got new stuff. Patreon.com/comicbook.
We're
going to talk about it shortly. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support the show and all the shows we do. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Android, Spotify, or the app of your choice. At Comic Book Live on Twitter/X. Comic Book Club Live on Instagram and TikTok. ComicBookClubLive.com. For this podcast and many more, until next time, good night.
Good night, folks. Rough Riser.
Take care of yourself out there.